Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 764, recording on November 25th. That's a Tuesday in the year of our Lord, 2025. My name's Martin Spriggs. This is a show about technology and ministry, and we are so glad that you decided to give us a little bit of your time in late November. Also giving us a little bit of her time, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Happy Thanksgiving week, thus the early recording this week, and giving us a little bit of their time are our favorite school technology experts, Dr. Rachel Reno and Jason Schmidt. Rachel, you and I are in the winter storm warning band today. How exciting.
It is delightful. I can't wait for snow, but also I'm a little strange.
Jason, in contrast, you are outside the winter storm warning today.
I was going to say, yeah, you guys got vacation, Jason, today. So I'm down in San Antonio, Texas, visiting my son and his wife. They're expecting a baby soon. So we're trying to help them get everything ready.
Congratulations on that. And too bad there's so much glare from the sunshine in your eyes.
I
hope you've got sunscreen on, Jason.
Yeah. no, that's okay. Well, I'll figure it out. We'll be good.
Well, thanks for taking some time out of your vacation. And Sally and Rachel, thanks for taking a little bit of time out of your winter weather preparations, whatever those look like.
Oh, joy.
Right.
We've made it this far, though. Thanksgiving week is pretty good for, the course of winter beginning.
So today we thought we would pick the brains of the resident experts here on, of course, one of our themes for the year, and that is AI. And a lot of us are familiar with the common AI tools like ChatGPT and Google Gemini, those kinds of chat-based AI friends. But there is a kind of a 100-pound, 1,000-pound gorilla that maybe is something worthy more of our attention because it fills some very specific use cases, not just for education, but maybe especially education. And so we thought we'd dedicate a little time talking about another Google product, Notebook LM, which has been around actually for quite a while. But I don't know if we've really dedicated significant time to it on this show. So we thought, let's talk a little bit about Notebook LM and maybe some of the differences between it and your regular chatbot experience and where it fits in maybe the life of a student, the life of an educator, what our experiences have been. So maybe I'd ask Jason or Rachel to give us a kind of a quick rundown of what is the difference between Notebook LM and something like Gemini or ChatGPT or Claude, something like that.
Yeah. So you say that like Notebook LM is the 1,000-pound gorilla or whatever. I would call it the Godzilla. So like this is the all-purpose AI tool, I think, in a whole bunch of different ways. So the main thing that's a difference between Notebook LM and any of these other chatbots that you would have has to do with the way that it processes the information that it's got. So all of these large language models, like they have algorithms, they use predictive text, all of those kinds of things. And it's based off of a specific data set that these large language models use, right? So it's like, petabytes and like exabytes of data that they're processing things through. And that's why you get so many things like hallucinations and like it starts making things up because it sounds like it should be good, but it really is not an actual thing. So what Notebook LM does is it basically limits that knowledge set to whatever information you provide it. So it can't hallucinate because it's only using specific information that you've already provided. And then the other bonus with that is it provides citations. So for example, I could load in my school district's human resources, like their benefits package and our handbook and things like that. And I can ask it questions or request information, and it'll spit out knowledge based on what I provided it. So it reduces the risk of hallucinations as long as you know that your sources are accurate. And it's a great learning tool, and that's kind of where it got its start, was as a learning tool to help people understand content in ways that are maybe a little bit different from the way that you would use a typical large language model.
Yeah, very different, right? Rachel, anything to add?
Well, it so a use case example, you asked a question at the beginning of the episode, have we talked about Notebook LM before? Well, if we were to start loading all of our transcripts, all our podcast transcripts into a Notebook LM, we could just ask it, hey, have we talked about this thing before? And it will tell us. And I know we in planning often discuss, hey, have we talked about this? When was the last time we picked this? And yeah, I have found it just to be super useful when I want something that's very specific, which is often the case when you are either doing when you're doing things for teaching, right? I've used it in my enhancing the curriculum with technology graduate course, because I don't, when I'm creating things or asking questions, I don't want the AI to be going outside of my course materials. So I can give it my course description and outlines of our chapters and those kind of things, and then create within that. And then I know it's kind of making a walled garden where I know where the information is coming from, and makes me more confident in the things that I'm getting from Notebook LM.
Cool. It's been out for a little while, but I know that over time they've been enhancing it more and more. What kind of artifacts will it produce from the resources that you feed to Notebook LM?
Well, my
So,
favorite.
like when it first started, like,
Go ahead, Jason.
go ahead, Rachel.
Now we're going to fight over it, aren't we?
Rachel, go.
Thanks, Martin. My favorite is the videos that it will make. And so I have done things like load slide presentations from a chapter in the textbook and asked it to create a summary video. And it does a really great job of highlighting the things that probably I would want to highlight in a very interesting and summarized way. It's kind of a little playful, which is fun. And in a newer update, previously it had relied on like some stock imagery, and so they all kind of looked pretty similar. But recently with Is it the banana thing that helped it, Jason? Yeah, banana, nano, something like that. I don't
Nano
know.
banana.
Yeah, there we go. That's why we have Jason to make sense of my nonsensicals. It will make some of its own imagery that really, I could make something like that. I could take probably a couple hours to summarize the key points of a chapter in the text, make some slides, do some voiceovers, add some video background. I could do that. Or I could load my resources into Notebook LM, give it a few prompts, press some buttons. You do have to wait a while for it to process the whole thing, which actually makes me feel better about it, that it's not like an instantaneous thing. Although I do wonder if it just makes you wait so you feel better about it, or if it actually is working while you're waiting. I don't know. But then when you come back, you can check your video and see for like check out your content. And every single one that I have produced so far, I have been happy with. It's met my
That
expectations.
you couldn't even have imagined before.
So Martin's sharing on the screen that we actually did go through the process of feeding 5 Wells Tech episodes to Notebook LM and having it create a video. So when we say video, it's more like a slide deck with narration. So not actually motion video, but a slide deck, but very well done. We fed it the season past. So what we talked about in the 24-25 series on the Sammer model,
How this
and
works.
it definitely excelled at creating a video that explains the Sammer model and how it relates to all the different topics which we covered during those episodes. So you can see a little bit of an example of that on the screen as Martin is showing.
Let me just
We've
play a
all seen it,
quick
right?
snippet so you can
Technology
hear
is a massive
the
investment
audio
in our
side of it
schools,
here.
but how do we make sure it's actually changing the game for learning and not just a shiny, expensive way to do the same old things? Well, today, we're diving into a framework that helps us figure that out. I mean, seriously, schools have poured billions of dollars into technology.
And these are not just images that have been found, on the internet. These are essentially custom created AI generated slides that are based on purely the content, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and the other thing that's really neat about this is we're starting to see a lot of the tools that were kind of developed for Notebook LM are making their way into some of the other like the general chatbots and those kinds of things. So for example, in a Gemini chat, now you can provide it files and limit the interaction to that based off of what it
Oh.
is. It'll refer to those things as part of the response. So we're really we're starting to see some of the pieces that are being developed in Notebook LM are kind of transitioning over into the mainstream model as they're gaining popularity and usefulness and things like that. But the other thing that's really neat about this is the level, yes, they're developing new things and releasing new pieces to it. And then it gets adopted into the main model, but then the features get refined even further in Notebook LM. So one of the examples and kind of the thing that made Notebook LM go viral was the audio overview that they will provide. So it's like an NPR style podcast that describes what it is of the content. There's two hosts going back and forth, and it's really good. It's really well done. It sounds very lifelike, and really does a great job. And those when that first came out, that was you're limited to it was like a 5 minute, thing that it would generate. And now that audio overview is actually available in Gemini as part of the deep research piece, if you're using that mode in Gemini. But now in Notebook LM, you have the ability to refine those podcasts a little bit more. So you can say do the audio overview, but I want you to focus on this particular topic, and I want it to be about 18 minutes long, and all of those pieces that kind of go along with it. So you really have the ability to refine some of those things a little more, and then as those things get built into Notebook LM, and they just as they get better and better, then they get incorporated into the main model. So it's almost kind of like I use it in a couple of different ways. We'll get into the practical application a little bit later. But what I like about it is it kind of gives me a peek around the corner into what is Google planning and what's going to be coming to the main model. So I can kind of start helping myself understand those things. So then I can see the application when it becomes a little bit more mainstream. So that's one of the things that I really like about it too, is just that peek around the corner, a little bit of advance notice to what Google has planned for their AI tools.
And just because I was out there messing with this today and creating this, and we'll have a link in the show notes where you can go and check out the WellsTech Summer Season Overview Notebook LM. I noticed that besides audio and video overviews, I can create reports and flashcards and quizzes and even a mind map based on it. But coming soon, currently unavailable, you'll be able to create infographics and slide decks. And so there you go, Jason. They're tipping their hat as to what's next in their development. But yeah, pretty quick and easy to do. You feed it all kinds of sources. You can, drag in different documents. You can link it to a workspace, add links to websites or YouTube videos, paste in copied text. You have a limit of 50 sources in Notebook LM, and I don't know if that differs if you have an educational account or what. This is my regular account that I'm looking at. You can go and search for sources. So pretty much the sky's the limit as to what you can feed it as its umbrellaed or whatever set of sources so that you're not getting the full large language model. You're getting a focused look at some information.
This
Yeah,
is.
Jason, oh, let me ask you a quick question, Rachel, first. In your use of it, and this is for Jason too, what limitations have you found? Where has it kind of failed, and what do you kind of wish it could do? Now you only have 50 sources. I've run into that a little bit where I wanted to throw in, let's say, 200 different policies we have at the Senate level, and I couldn't do it. I had to do some combining and that kind of stuff. But what have you guys found as far as limitations, if any?
So from my perspective, one of the things, like, I haven't run into that problem, Martin, because I have a subscription. So I actually, if you pay for like a Google's AI license, you actually get 350 uploads. So like that source, I haven't run into that source limitation yet. I should try it though, see if I can.
Is that the
But you're exactly right. Like,
$20 AI subscription you're talking
20
about?
bucks a month. Yep.
Okay.
I'm not doing the AI Ultra. I can't do that one. I would
Right.
probably, yeah,
Which is
get
like
I would get in
100
trouble
or
for that.
something like that. It's crazy.
It's like 250 bucks a month or something
200,
like that.
yeah.
Yeah, that's outside of my pocketbook. So like the source limit is one thing. And then it can get a little slow sometimes. Like if you ask it to do a bunch of things, it might take a little bit more time for a few things to go through. And then the other, like the biggest limitation that I've run across, and I don't know, Rachel, if you've had a different experience, but it does not take spreadsheets. So like if I have a spreadsheet with like multiple points of data or things like that, or like, I want to like refer to that as part of my process, I have to take every single individual sheet and export it. Like I can export it as a PDF, it'll be able to handle it, or a CSV or something like that, or just a plain text file. It'll take it that way. But it doesn't like natively understand spreadsheets, which to me is a little, that's a huge limitation. I know it's something that they're working on, but I think there are some really big technical challenges that go along with that need to be solved. So that's been my experience anyways, is that the spreadsheet limitation is.
Rachel, how about you?
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes it takes a little while. And I wish maybe you would get an email notification when something was done. Like that would be helpful. And another kind of limitation I've run into is that once it's created the thing, and maybe this is a feature I'm not aware of, but as far as I know, once it's created the thing, like it's created the thing. I would love to be able to like watch the video and say, hey, that was great, but can you focus more on this rather than starting completely over from scratch? But for now, I'm pretty sure you have to start completely over when, like if you're making a new video or audio overview.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I interrupted you before, Rachel. Do you remember what you were thinking about?
Well, I wish that this had been something that was around when I was writing my literature review back in the day. because I think that that kind of research is one place that this might really shine, because you could low I'm thinking of the research articles I slogged through very, very slowly, and to make like a video overview or audio overview of those so that I could get out some of those key points and then go back in for the finer details would have been really, really great. And then as I was writing, it would have been really nice to be able to go, oh, where, like, what of the however many PDFs I have, where did it say this one thing? And to be able to just like ask Notebook LM, hey, which of these research articles says something like this? And it spit that back for me. I think that would have been, well, I know that would have been really helpful. But Sally also in illustrated one of its strengths, in that you can share a notebook with people. So that's something, although we can load information into Gemini and I suppose you could share a gem that way, but a gem doesn't necessarily wall it in like a notebook does. And you can share notebooks with students or faculty or whomever. So you could load your, you know, your faculty handbook and those kind of policies and things into a notebook, share that out with your faculty, and then when they have questions, they could go right there. And they could ask Notebook LM those questions. Same thing with your students. You could put in, maybe college profs would love this, put in your syllabus. And then rather than emailing the professor questions about the course, ask the Notebook LM. And then we professors wouldn't have to reply 100 times with, please read your syllabus. That could be a workaround. But also you could, you know, load it with specific information and allow the students to ask it questions or create their own study materials. Or there are lots of different ways that this can be used, and educators can feel more confident in using it because you know that it's getting its information from information you supplied.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
to
and
kind
that's
of
another strength.
build off of that sharing piece of things, like Google just they just make it so easy, right? So it's not just sharing with a link or things like that, but you know, if you use Google Classroom, like it's really like you can post an assignment that is, this is the Notebook LM. So I'm giving you all of these resources, and now use this as your study guide, or use this as a way to review the material or things like that. So like all of those pieces are like, you know, super, super helpful, super useful, and can be a good way to help support students in the use of some of these tools, provide some of those scaffolding that they would probably need, but then also like making sure that it's done in the way that you want it to be done, so that you set up those fences.
I was going to say one of the strengths I've noticed in using it is that you can create derivative works. You know, you're creating a product which can then also now become a source. So you save it, it becomes a note, and then it can be made a source, and then you can grow your body of knowledge. So if you're taking notes or you're using the material in a very specific way, it can grow that body of knowledge and become even more useful. It's not just kind of a static, it doesn't necessarily need to be a static thing. So that's useful. Any other use cases that you guys can think of that might be helpful for educators, students, that you wanted to make sure we came away with?
Well, I'd say like for me personally, one of the things that I use it for a ton is just in my regular work. I manage a lot of projects and I have a lot of teams that are working on multiple things. So, and it can be a little challenging for me sometimes to keep things straight. Like, did we talk about that thing or did we do this thing or what were the action items, things like that. So what I've started to do is Anytime I have a meeting, I will transcribe it with some sort of an AI tool. We'll talk about that when I get to my pick. But then, like, I can Notebook LM will take like a recording, like an audio recording, and it'll be able to process that audio and give me information out of that as well. So I'll put like all of my meeting notes, all of my meeting agendas, like those kinds of things will, and then that audio file and any transcription, and I'll put those into Notebook LM. And then in my preparation for the next meeting or conversation or whatever, I can refer to that. And I'll ask it questions about like what were the action items last time and what do we need to make sure we check on and help me build the agenda for this upcoming meeting. So it's been super helpful and useful for me, just in keeping like that aspect of my work life organized. So, I could see like a principal doing something like this, like, if we've got all these observations, like these classroom observations or things like that, that we've been doing and we want to provide feedback for teachers, like that instructional leadership side of things, like put all of those observations in there and say, like, okay, as a system, these are the kinds of things that we're seeing. Like, what are the trends and how can we see that? And then like use that to inform professional development plans and things like that. I could see being like a super useful way of incorporating something like this that goes beyond just the here's all of my stuff for this class, and here's a study guide. Like, really use it as one of those useful tools to improve practice.
Yeah, I could imagine it being really helpful for any kind of organization effort or project effort, like perhaps a curriculum committee or on the church side, if you, well, on either side, if you're using like a VTO, a 6-year vision of your goals, your mission and things and your task related to that. We just recently went through that at our church where they summarized our VTO into a document that they handed out to everybody and wanted everybody to read this, maybe 6 or so page document and then take a survey or whatever. But wouldn't it be neat if you just dumped that into Notebook LM and had it generate a video that you could play for 5 minutes at the end of church or whatever, or school. Obviously, schools have VTOs and things like that going on as well. So,
Rachel, how about you? Any other use cases you wanted to share?
I think the one of the biggest things for me for teachers is the way is that you can make, quizzes and flashcards and things, and you can also put those then right into classroom, so that again, where the information is coming from, and it can be a pretty great time saver in that area.
Awesome. So we probably should wrap this up. Notebook LM, free, right? To anybody who wants to use it. We'll put a link in the show notes to how to get that. But there are some advantages, as Jason mentioned, to a subscription. Or I don't know if there are advantages of using it in a Google Workspace. I'm not sure if there's a difference to that. It can obviously search or has access to Google Drive material if you kind of narrow it down to let's say a workspace area or shared drive.
Yep. The main thing that you get by using it in a workspace is it falls under the same terms of service that the rest of it, that the rest of the Google Suite does. So like if like I you don't have to be concerned about like uploading any kind of PII or anything like that into
Good
that
point.
system. So if I'm confident with it in my Google Drive, I'm confident with it in my Notebook LM. So that would be the main advantage that you get from pulling it into Workspace. That and the integration with the different drives, it'll query your calendar and your well, no, I don't think that's, never mind. Notebook LM doesn't do that. That's Gemini.
Gemini
But you
will
can
do
pull in
that,
from your
right?
drive and all of those things to pull that in. So
Yeah. Excellent. All right, great. Thanks for your insights, everybody. Excellent. We should probably move on down the road. So let's head to our ministry resource.
yeah, and we have a related ministry resource. I alluded a little bit to the church side of using Notebook LM. We actually found an article from Church Tech Today titled 10 Ways a Pastor Can Use Google Notebook LM for Work, ministry, and beyond. And it has a summary area at the top. TLDR, too long, didn't read the full article. Notebook LM acts like a personal research assistant for pastors, transforming sermons, studies, and church resources into summaries, devotionals, guides, and training tools. So summarizing sermons, videos, and notes, repurposing old content into devotionals or FAQs, equipping leaders with study guides, glossaries, and playbooks, and integrating with other AI tools for deeper impact. That's the overview of the article there. Martin, was there anything in particular that you pulled from this?
Yeah, one of the things that Rachel mentioned actually is kind of, there's kind of a workaround here, use it with other AI tools. So whatever content you create in Notebook LM, you could kind of push that into like a ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini to kind of finish the work or keep modifying the work. But there you gotta, then you get into some of the, is it just focusing on that work or not? But so you could tune it up a little bit, but not a thorough solution. But yeah, just any resource. The article does a nice job in ministry context, but any resources that you want to have some extra value out of or more value out of are good candidates for this. So FAQs, onboarding, equipping ministry leaders, playbooks for small group leaders, I see here, volunteer training, FAQs, all that stuff. Good stuff.
Awesome. So yeah, check out the article and maybe try an idea and tell Wells Tech how it's going for you. We'd love to hear your uses of Notebook LM.
Yeah. And we should note that Notebook LM recently launched a mobile app too. They didn't have one for a while, and now there's a iOS and Android app too. So
cool.
All right, let's move on to our picks of the week. Guests and ladies first, Rachel.
All right. So my pick of the week is Hume.ai. Full disclosure, I'm not entirely sure how I landed on this website because I meant to buy a subscription to Murph.ai, which is enough. So both of these are text to speech AI voice generators. And I've been doing a lot of slide narration videos for some of our education programs. And I don't ask me how I try, like I meant to go to Murph and ended up in Hume. I'm not sure. It just happened. Jason, do you know how I managed to do that? No? Okay. But this is where I ended up and it has worked very well for me. So what it does is you put in your text and you press a button and it gives you a recording of an AI generated voice. It has lots of different options. It's way too entertaining to listen to the slide narrations about teaching how to teach social studies with like a, they have like a movie narrator voice and like all these really funny ones that I'm like, I kind of wanted to throw in there every once in a while just because it'd be funny. But then I started, it said that it could clone a voice and that doesn't sound like the greatest idea, but also, you know, you can kind of tell an AI voice is an AI voice, and it takes away a little bit of the human aspect when you're listening to a video. And so I was like, well, I wonder what that's like. And I can clone my own voice because I own it, I guess. So it has an option where you click the button, and I read it a few sentences, and then there you go. It had my voice. My husband said that if I hadn't told him that it was me, he wouldn't have known. The guys in the office said if I hadn't that if they didn't know, like if they didn't know me so well, they were pretty sure that they would have figured that that was my voice. So I'm figuring for online students who don't actually know my voice very well outside of, videos and things, it'll probably work okay. And it did sound more realistic to me than the other voices. But the other nice thing that you can do in Hume is you can give it a prompt for a voice. So if you don't want your lessons read like a, really, really intense movie narrator, voiceover narrator, you can like describe what you want it to sound like. And then you can save that voice and use that voice for future things. The pricing, I used up the free pretty quick. I also used up the starter, which is like $3 a month, pretty quick. But again, I was making like, numerous 5 to 10 minute videos. So, for your average use case, the free might actually be just enough. I'm on the creator right now. And I refuse to up to the pro because there's a huge creator
Big
is seven
jump.
a month and pro is 70. So that's quite the jump. But you can try out the voice clone, I believe, in the free tier. So if you're just kind of interested in what that might sound like or what an AI thinks you sound like, it's at the very least, it's fun to play with.
Sure. So what were your use cases for this, Rachel, other than having fun?
So we've been making we've been using Google Vids. Did we talk about Google Vids last time? I
Maybe
think
so,
so.
yeah.
Maybe. We've been using Google Vids a lot to make instructional videos for some of our online classes. And
Okay.
I mean it's really easy to, in Google Vids to just record your own voice, but for some reason people don't seem to like to hear their own voices. So when I've offered the option, hey, I could do an AI voice for you, most of our instructors have taken me up on that. So that's what I've.
Especially if it's expressive, like it says, there's that
Yeah.
it's not just a dull reading. Yeah.
And it does an AI all right job.
I would have
Real voice
loved
is
to
still
try.
better, but
Yeah. I would have loved to have tried this at least when I was narrating the Bible. I narrated the Bible for th 3 years worth. I would have loved to have seen what it would have done for that. That would have been a great use case.
well, I just want to make everything come full circle and say that Rachel just said, have we talked about Google Vids? And that was exactly what you said would be the perfect use case for Notebook LM to just look there and find out if we had. So thanks for that. Yep.
Awesome. All right, let's move on to Jason.
Yeah, so my pick is actually a hardware pick. So I have a little AI voice recorder. It's called Plod. So Plod.ai. And I'm apologizing to everybody who clicked on this link and is looking this up because their online marketing is very aggressive. So get ready for them to take over all of your social feeds. So it's a little credit card sized device that actually attaches to the MagSafe on the back of my phone. And I push a button and it starts to record. So the difference between this one and like the recorder that's built into your phone is it has a couple of microphones that are specifically designed to capture a group conversation. And there's an AI subscription that goes along with it that allows you to upload your recordings in there and then gain like a get a transcript that'll identify speakers and things like that. And it does a fairly good job of all of those things. I personally don't make very much use of the subscription because I'm pretty heavily entrenched into Google. So I'll use those. It generates an MP3 file, and I can put that MP3 file into Notebook LM and get some of the same kinds of information sharing and gathering out of that, the research piece of it. So super, super useful in my daily operations. I'll probably record. I'll record like 3, 4 meetings a week with it. And it just helps me again keep track of the things that are going on. So Plod.ai is the name of the website. And they have a couple of different hardware pieces. I have the It's well now it's the Pro. I have the version previous to that, but they have one like a piece that you can clip on a necklace or wear it on your wrist or something like that. It can clip onto your lapel. So they've got a couple of different hardware models out there, or that are pretty useful, pretty well designed. So I've been happy with it so far, and
I just got one. I got the latest one, the Pod Note Pro, and I've used it for two meetings now, so I don't have a long history with it, but I would say it's the best that I've used for recording meeting and actually capturing good audio and actually producing good AI notes. It was pretty amazing. I was in a meeting yesterday of about a dozen people in a room, that seated a dozen people comfortably and people on video conference. And it picked up, and you can, one of the neat things is it does differentiate the speakers and it's easy to assign names. And you kind of have to do it right after so you know who was talking, although that's not a requirement. But the AI summary to-dos and AI suggestions were kind of next level, even compared to like Copilot, which I'm very impressed with. We use Copilot a lot in our Teams meetings, but this was pretty amazing. So I think sounds like they've improved the microphones in this, because I was shocked that it could pick up with the clarity that it did a meeting that size. The room was probably 30 by 30 feet. I mean, it was pretty big. And not you can't ask everybody in the room to, hey, speak up. The AI person is listening. I mean, they're just going to talk naturally. Some people are low talkers, slow talkers, soft talkers, fast talkers, and it did a pretty amazing job. I don't know if you mentioned the price, but I think I think I got the Pro one for, I think it was on sale for 169 or 160, something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say they're sub $200, and there's always a sale going on, and they want you to do like your subscription too. So I think this the unlimited subscription is like $100 a year. So like if you want to stick with that ecosystem, it's a pretty solid
For
way of
sure.
doing that. I found like I don't pay for the subscription, but even free, like you get 60 minutes of transcription a month, which I think is enough for what I use it for. As far as my particular use case, because again, like I'm kind of entrenched in the Google ecosystem, so I, I'll mash it up a lot. And then one thing that I did forget to mention too is that it has a physical switch, so like you can switch from like conference room mode to phone mode, so it does a really good job of recording phone calls, if you have those going on your phone as well.
Yeah, the Pro model doesn't have it. It just senses it and it switches automatically. It's pretty slick.
Well, I'm just not as fancy as you are, Martin.
I don't know, but this is
Looks like on
a
their
game
website,
changer.
yeah, the Pro model isn't in their Black Friday sale. But if you're listening to this week, there are good sales out there. Pro model at 189, and either the note pin, which is something you could wear on your lapel, or the note are only at 127. So that's quite a bargain
I
with the
mean,
physical.
as Jason mentioned, if you want to go on the cheap, you can actually do this pretty well with just your phone, record the conversation and throw it into Notebook LM or throw it into Gemini or whatever, and get a pretty good transcription. I mean, you have some limitations on the quality of your phone's microphone, but this is and of course you want to tell everybody that's what you're doing so they're comfortable with that, but I don't take physical notes unless it's a I know I've got to get this down, but 99 times out of 100 I've found over the past 6 months to 12 months that the AI captures it. All right, Sally. You're
My
up.
turn. And I'm going to share something I experienced recently. It's a website called Auctoria, and it's for online auctions. And our school does one fundraiser per year, our elementary, Lutheran Elementary School, and they do an online auction along with a walkathon. It's kind of a combo event. And in the past, they've just kind of made Facebook posts, and you can comment on the Facebook post and things like that to show what the auction items are. But the last 2 years, they've used this site. And just the fact that they've repeated it for a second year tells me that it worked well for them the first year. It's basically a place to post things and run an auction. And it's got some pretty slick interactivity to it as well. You can use it for free, and that's up to $10,000 of income, which I think our auction was well below that, but it definitely, allows you up to 250 bidders and three team members. They charge a 1% credit card fee, and has different features as well. I will include a link in the show notes to the example one from our most recent Risen Savior auction here in Mankato, and just some of the things. Obviously, the auction is over. It was back in September, actually. But some of the things that are there, and you can at least get a feel for what it might look like on the screen and how you might interact with it. What's cool about it, one of the features that I made use of was you can set your maximum bid. So, say you're bidding $5 on something, but you're willing to go up to 15, then anytime someone bids over you under that threshold of 15, you immediately outbid them. So, all of that is automated. And it does allow you to finish up the auction taking the donations through their site. It emails them that you're the winner and things like that. So, if that's something your school or church has considered an online auction, I know MVL does an auction in the spring, I believe. So I think other schools are doing that as well. Maybe you want to check out this site. Auctoria is how it's pronounced, and they've got some overview videos and things like that that you can get a better feel for it. That's my pick of the week.
Very nice. Did you do did you go and do any research, or how did you come across this particular
Well,
service?
yeah, our fundraising chairman did. And
Ah,
like I said, I've
okay.
experienced three or four of them because they do it each year. And it is leaps and bounds better than just posting a bunch of pictures on a Facebook group and keeping up with all the interaction of
For
comments
sure.
that might happen there and stuff. You can even bid on something and not see the comment that outbids you or whatever and not realize what's going on. So it's a designed for online auctions, and it does it well.
Awesome. Nice pick. All right, that's down to me. My pick of the week is actually a, I guess you call it hardware pick. It's a backpack. It's from a company called Nomatic. And Nomatic has been around quite some time, but they specialize in kind of tech-friendly gear. And I will tell you that they are not the cheapest backpacks you can buy, but I would say I'd put them more in the luggage category. And if you're gonna get good luggage, you're gonna pay a decent price. So the one I have is the 20 liter they make. This is the travel pack, by the way. They make a 20 liter and a 14 liter. I have the 20 liter. I got it about 6, 7 years ago, and it actually looks brand new, and I use it every day. So that is, kudos to them. It's really a quality product. One thing I like about it is I can use it, for going, commuting back and forth to work, but I often will just take this and this alone, for travel. I don't like to check a bag if I don't have to, and this has an expandable middle section where I can get a couple days worth of clothing and some shoes, a change of shoes, plus all my tech gear, laptop and tablet and phone and all that stuff. It has an RFID protected area, has all kinds of pockets, very comfortable to carry, and super flexible. That comes when I bought it, it only had one color black. Now I think it has blue and something else. What is it? Just looking here, olive color. But it's made of leather. So it's not the lightest, but it's not something you're gonna hate carrying, each and every day. It has two pockets on either side. They're kind of magnetic and they open for water bottles and those kinds of things. It has lots of little mesh compartments for cables and if you're packing clothing, it'll do that. Go over the handle of a roller bag because it's got a slit in the back, so it'll do that. There is really nothing that I would ever cannot find that I would complain about for this particular product. Again, the price is a little high. I think they're on special right now, Black Friday, 279 or 280 for the 20 liter. I don't know if the 14 liters 263. On sale, but I think if you're looking in the market for a backpack or for a gift for somebody, this is awesome. I can't and I can't vouch for all their other stuff, but they do luggage and other kinds of things at Nomadic. But this travel pack is a best buy for me. So that's my pick.
Awesome.
All right, Sally, I think we are down to community news and feedback.
We are. I have a few things to share here. First up, I subscribe to the Kim Commando newsletter. I think I've talked about that before on Wells Tech. Her headline today says iCloud and Google Drive are not backups, which piqued my curiosity because that's my comfort level is that my things are backed up to the cloud. She says the harsh truth is thumb drives die, external drives die, hard drives die, your laptop will die. Everything you care about, every document and photo that matters lives on
Everything will
hardware.
die.
Everything will die. It's
This
going
is
to
a very
fail.
nihilistic podcast, but I
Right.
understand.
She says, though, that's not pessimistic, that's reality. Here's the part that surprises people. iCloud and Google Drive are not backups. They sync. If you delete something or the file gets corrupted, it's gone everywhere. You're not getting it back. So, yes and no. I mean, I see her point. Anyway, she likes a three copy rule, one copy on your device, one on an external drive, and one on an offsite or cloud-based. If you only have two copies total, you're one disaster away from heartbreak. So just thought I'd put that little bug in your ear. I'm not sure what your backup policies are, but I would venture to guess that everyone's probably experienced something dying on them, and that's not the most pleasant thing to live through. Even just changing over computers, you'd think it would be a lot more seamless than it is, but you can really get into some headaches when you try to make changes like that. So consider your backup policy. Maybe your Thanksgiving or Christmas break is a good time to refresh that policy and look at your backups and get things in order so that when things die, as they inevitably will, you're covered. So, yeah, happy
I
day.
think we got the death part. Yeah.
All right, next up, Martin, I understand that there is a job opening in the CMM
There is
technology
in our
office.
department, in fact, we're looking for a HubSpot specialist. If you're not familiar with what HubSpot is, it's a customer or constituent relationship management package. We use it, we're beginning to use it for all of our communications. And we need somebody to kind of pull the right levers and become our HubSpot person, at least on the technical side. And I know that there may not be that many of you out there, but if you do have HubSpot experience, we want to talk to you. But I would say anything related to that CRM space, Salesforce, and there's Microsoft Dynamics, there's a lot of them out there. So if you've got some experience there, or if you're just a generally smart person that want to works for this that wants to work for us and with some great people, HubSpot specialist, we have a job opening. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Awesome. And just a quick drive through over it on Facebook. Wells Intersections page brought me a couple of things I wanted to share with the class here today. One of them was a post by Sharon Ragner, who is looking at Thanksgiving-related social media posts. And she has maybe before the cooking starts and the house fills with noise, before the list, the timers, and the travel, set aside an hour to recenter your heart in Christ. And somebody actually shared their own version that they posted. So an invite for your Thanksgiving worship service. It's not too late to do that or to take this advice as you look forward into Advent and Christmas worship as well. Thought it was a great post from Sharon. Also, a post from Cindy Krieger, friend of the show, who said, what's one technology solution you think every church should use? She linked to an article from Tidely. It was from earlier in the year, but they're talking about church technology and what technology is vital for churches today. They mention church management software, live streaming, digital giving, social media, educational tools and online resources, and then emerging trends of virtual and augmented reality, AI, and data-driven decision making. So great article to browse. And I will say that there was some interesting comments, some that I wasn't expecting or wouldn't be on my radar. Landing pages, CRMs, and direct-to-community apps like Nextdoor. And honestly, I don't know if we've talked about Nextdoor. How many times are we going to say this on today's podcast? Have we talked about that before? But really good discussion around Nextdoor and how people are using that.
Interesting.
Then there's some discussion of an app called Reach to send mass emails to a group of people. And someone talks about Apple Business Connect, which sounds kind of like your Google Maps and Google listing, where you can control that listing. You can also control it in Apple Maps and, you know, put out your hours of operation and things like that if you go ahead and pursue that. So some great leads there for you to consider and a great article for you to peruse as well. So check it out.
Very nice. If you want to contribute to the show, go to wellstech.wells.net. You can leave a comment there. You can send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. And all the socials, as we mentioned, we're on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram and all the things, and our Google group, over 200 people out there discussing things about technology. So take advantage of all that stuff. We'd love to hear from you. Jason and Rachel, thanks so much for your time. Jason, back to vacation. Rachel, little silicone on the shovels, probably appropriate at this point to, you know, glide through the snow a little bit better. But we are so glad that you joined us. Thank you so much.
Always happy to be here.
Appreciate the invites to keep coming.
All right, for sure. And thank you, Sally, for all you do as well. We will, actually, Sally and I will be same place, same time, Lord willing, the next time. So we'll do a face-to-face Wells Tech. So we're looking forward to that. That's always a fun time. Sally's venturing over to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a very, very blessed Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.